Hey guys, on today's Board Game Rundown, we're going to talk about Borderlands, Mr. Torg's Arena of Badassery that's now on Kickstarter.
We're also going to talk about new games available from our friends of the Grand Gamers Guild and some Axis and Allies news.
We've got news on Todd Waits 2, Rise of the Unfolders, and you should definitely check that out.
And some more in-depth news on Marvel Zombie Zombicide going into some gameplay mechanics.
Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
I'm Spencer.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jason.
Yay! Today we got Jason from the Board Game Mechanics to be on the show for no particular reason. Actually, we got a topic that I think is pretty cool and actually is a nice, Jason will provide a nice juxtaposition on this like value in games between like Bob and I really specifically and what Jason values in games. I mean, Jason's cheap. Frugal. If you listen to his show, he's frugal.
That's right.
A nice way to say it, right?
Cheap, yeah. That's the
Dan's broke.
That's an understatement.
Jason's frugal. Bob has no kids.
Yeah.
So he can spend.
I got that adult money.
Yeah.
No responsibilities.
Well, what's that like? That's nice.
Yeah. Lucky. But first, we're going to talk about some games we played. We'll get into a little bit of news, Kickstarter. And then, the topic. What do we value in the board games?
Yeah. But first, make sure you like and subscribe so you get all the notifications when we release stuff because we're doing all types of videos all the time.
Yeah. Actually, we will now just. Like and subscribe to the
Board Game Mechanics also. Yeah.
Because, Jason has a pretty okay podcast.
It's pretty okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a link in the description. I do suggest checking it out before you like and subscribe, though. They might be terrible.
Yep.
Everything Dan says, you can just ignore.
Both valid points.
Also true. And also, we are teaming up with the Board Game Mechanics for a giveaway.
Okay.
So, Jason, what is our giveaway?
What are my giveaways?
Well you can go over the whole thing.
All right, so I'm going to do two games. You guys are going to do two games.
Yeah.
And the games that I'm going to be doing on our channel is Clinic Deluxe Edition and Harry Potter House Cup Competition.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pick those because they rhymed. It's just the way that it worked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it does help.
You guys are also doing some games. I can't remember, so I'll let you take that.
Okay, so it's Harry Potter Codenames.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Machikoro Legacy.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And so, Jason, you set it all up. It's going to be a Gleam giveaway.
Correct. Yep, it's Gleam. There's multiple ways to enter. I think your guys' is through, like, Twitter entries and YouTube views, subscriptions, all that kind of thing. And mine's going to be kind of like the same deal, but I also have a Facebook that I want you to go check out. So I can't link your Facebook because you guys have, a group. And it will
our page is funky because I adapted a board game group page that I was running into the Board Game Rundown because when I first started the show, it was sort of like a built-in, like, hey, there's a big old group of people I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not ideally set up, but it serves its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so we are going to be giving away those games, and I'm super excited. Hopefully people can win some stuff.
Right. Participate.
Several of the games were donated by Pat and Julia.
Nice.
So
awesome people.
Patrick Olmsted, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Olmsted Law.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you're in the Indianapolis area or you're into board games, man, look him up. He does a lot of board game stuff.
Like you're trying to get your own thing, like, trademarked or whatever.
He's done work for high profile people that I will not name here, but I love a lot of Martin Wallace games.
Yeah, me too.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyways, so games we played, guys.
Yeah.
Bob, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Oh, no, let me go first.
Okay,
go ahead. Spencer.
Nothing.
Okay. No, right. You played at least two.
I guess you're right.
I'm not going to mention those. I'll actually go next only because mine, like, neither of are technically board games. They are tabletop games, and they are the nerdiest. Talk about the nerd week, okay?
Okay.
Well, technically the nerd 3 weeks because I was out sick for a while, as you guys probably didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. we tried not to.
I just had too much on my plate this week.
This was before I got sick, but so we did play D&D.
Go on.
Well, he said nothing. He played nothing.
No,
that's him going
first.
Well,
we got two games. Oh, okay.
Oh,
got
well,
it.
That's all of us together.
That's all of us.
Keep going.
So I played Dungeons and Dragons again with my family before. Nice. That was before I got sick. Yeah. So, you know, that was cool. We played more into that and, you know, just a great time getting them all into this and trying to see, man, trying to see these people role play and, like, get into it. It's just a fantastic experience. It's really awesome to see people make that jump when they're completely not comfortable with the idea at first, you know? Like, it's so awesome.
So that was before you got sick?
Yeah, that was.
So you failed your constitution save throw.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because my constitution is like huge.
it's average.
But and then I, because there was literally nothing else for me to do when I was at home, I found a website where you can play for free. I've been playing the hell out of Yu-Gi-Oh, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know,
Bob's board look.
It's just, well, it's just so nice to have access to every card and be able to just play against bots, you know, for free.
Sure,
like, if I had to pay for it, I wouldn't do it, but just playing for free, it's been really nice just, like,
getting
back into my childhood and just being like, hey, I, you know, and I could not do modern stuff at all. Honestly, I don't like the way the game has gone, which is, oh, what a anti-meta, you know, douche and stuff, but it's just so, like, the game is so designed around summoning 50 monsters a turn and like one turn killing your opponent before they even take a turn. It's just not fun. I don't like that kind of stuff. But like going back old school and just playing old school Yu-Gi-Oh, it's just been fun. But that's literally all I've played for the last 2 weeks is Dungeons & Dragons and Yu-Gi-Oh and slept. So, yeah.
So it's like you're a teenager again.
Yeah, basically. That's what happens when I get sick, I guess. Yeah.
Fair enough.
We all regress a little bit. You know? So Friday, I took a half day off work and Ben came over early and we actually played through an entire...
Descent.
Yeah, because usually he gets over late. We play for a couple hours. We put it on pause, come back to it. We actually played start to finish the next campaign. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Yeah.
We're getting back in soon.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting back in it soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, good times. And then I played a lot of Magic the Gathering, actually, like, in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun, which reminds me to make sure you check out our sister channel, the MTG Rundown.
Yes.
Yeah, and because they're starting up and putting some videos out. Get on there.
Yeah, they've got two up as of right now when we're filming. I've watched the first one, and I watched it start to finish. Really liked it.
Yeah.
Even though I only play on the app. I only play MTG Arena.
I've been telling everyone, including them, I don't care about Magic Gathering at all. It's really funny because I mentioned Yu-Gi-Oh! And Bob rolls his eyes, but then he plays Magic Gathering all the time. Same freaking thing. But I watched it. I watched both episodes, beginning and end. They're super entertaining. They know what they're talking about. I liked it a lot. It was nice. Cool.
Yeah. And then I got to the games that we played together.
Okay,
today.
Jason, do you want to go before we get into our last two? I guess.
Yeah, sure. I have a few. I played DC Deck Builder Confrontation, which the team version.
Okay, I haven't played Confrontation, but you had me at DC Deck Builder.
Yeah, you did.
It's cooperative.
Yeah, you play with one other player. And you're trying to eliminate the heroes or villains on the other player's team.
So this is like the like Batman v Joker, or is it Green Lantern versus Sinestro? Is this?
I don't know. It was like basically any character we wanted to be. We just picked a couple.
Then
I was me and Katie on a team, and then my friend and his wife on a team. And we were just duking it out.
Mm. Okay,
sure.
That sounds great.
It sounds better.
I love
than
team
the,
games like that.
And a terrible game DC Deck Builder.
I actually like DC Deck Builder Regular. This was a little too mean for me, but
really,
it was more.
But
mean
it's okay to be mean when I figure like you're on like just like opposite teams. Like when you have like multiple people and trying to just single out one person you need to kind of like
that's
I don't care for that. Yeah, but when it's just like one team versus other team, you want to be as mean as you can. And who cares? Because it's the one other team. You know, you're not like king making or anything like that.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's true. Mm-hmm. Then I played a couple Martin Wallace games.
Excellent.
Study and Emerald, which I just got in a trade, which is like his deck builder.
Did you get
weird
the first edition or second edition?
Second.
Okay.
First edition's impossible to find.
Yeah. I was curious.
And then I played Via Nebula.
Oh, nice. Nice. Did you ever play yours?
I haven't played mine yet.
Yeah, I played mine. I thought that was an interesting little pathing mechanic or whatever you want to call that in that where you have to like string the resources together and stuff. Yeah.
It kind of functions like brass, but super light. It's like, I say super light, but it's still, it's lighter than brass.
Oh,
but
it's way lighter than brass.
You're doing meadows instead of train tracks and you're getting your resources to your building site.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I played both and I didn't even think about them together, but probably because they're just on such different levels. Yeah.
Via Nebula looks amazing. Brass looks like brass.
Well, old brass.
What?
Old brass.
New brass looks good. I like the new brass.
No. You're talking to Jason.
Oh, yeah.
It's old. It's old. It's that guy on the cover that's like that or whatever.
It's awful. Yeah, okay.
None of that new brass junk. And I also played Rolling Realms from Stonemaier.
Oh, like nice.
Roll and Write.
Yeah.
It's basically a roll and write of all of their board games. So every little card is one of the games that they have. And you're trying to score the most points over three rounds. Or you can play solo, which is like a mini golf, 18-hole mini golf thing, where it just tells you what boards to play, gives you some new rules and all that kind of thing. So that's
totally
what I did.
A meta version.
Yeah,
of
yeah. It looks interesting to me. I want to try it out. But I mean, mainly because I like Stonemaier so much, right? Mm-hmm. Their games and stuff. But I want to check it out because I've been watching a lot of videos on him. The last few months of Stegmaier's YouTube channel has basically been him teaching the different games and playing a bunch of games of that and showing it off and everything. And it has a print and play, like free version, I believe, that you can do and everything. So yeah, I want to try it out. It looks pretty cool for a little rolling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so today, Jason, I know you played one of these. We played Picture Perfect today for
that's
the first time.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I like Katie's description where she said it's Sudoku with people.
Pretty much.
You know, where you're trying to...
like so many people in this row and this column. And
Yeah. I thought we all rated it and reviewed it pretty highly.
Yeah, we'll have a review coming out really soon right there when it's available.
In Spencer's ear.
Yeah.
But yeah, Picture Perfect was a ton of fun. And then Spencer got his Kickstarter copy of Mini Steel. Which it's kind of funny that you're here because that might have been the first person that reached out to you. And you're like, this doesn't sound like my kind of game, but my buddy Tim might like your game. Because I remember, I think they're the first ones that you sent our way. And then we're like, yes, please. And then it turned out we really liked it. So it worked out really well.
Yeah,
I don't know that you would like it as mean... As it can be.
Yeah.
It sounds like something I wouldn't like, yes.
But it's like 15
There's no
minutes.
Tracks, you know. Yeah. No tracks.
True. The art's
the
pretty
cards
basic.
Are miniature, though.
Oh, so he hates miniatures.
Yeah, he hates
there's no tracks.
Yeah, so strike two. Yeah.
But the art isn't like overly complicated.
Yeah,
so you probably, that's a plus.
Is.
Saving grace a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just you're drawing cards off everybody's drawing off the same deck and you're trying to combo some stuff together and knock everybody out before you go down.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. We all had a good time with it. Yep. So that's all the games we played?
That's all the games we played.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Dip the toe into some industry news real quick.
Yeah.
Tidal Blades RPG.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Rise of the Unfolders.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. They kept talking about that during the game, how it was coming.
They're announcing soon
on the 10th.
On the 10th.
Yeah,
on
their
that their Kickstarter is going to
Holiday Expo 2021.
They're announcing that their Kickstarter is going to start on February 22nd of 2022.
2022.
2222. Yeah. 222. All the twos. So yeah, if you're a big fan of Tidal Blades and like that whole like
the
world
and the lore
and everything, that and there's also going to be some board game stuff tied in with that Kickstarter. So it's not just the RPG. So if you're not into RPGs,
still check it out.
Don't ignore it.
But it's like not only is it a campaign style RPG kind of game, it really delves into the lore of it. So if you liked reading those cards and stuff, then I would recommend that.
And I did enjoy that. I liked the art, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how much I care about the world building, I guess, of that. But I mean, I do like the game. I do like the art.
I hate the setup.
Yeah, I hate the setup.
This is going to be a totally different kind of game. So.
No. No, I need to actually...
about this until you said it was an RPG.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love Tidal Blades, but this does not seem interesting at all. I'm almost regretting posting this on the page because of that.
Oh, no. but they're going to have board game stuff like involved in the Kickstarter. So I don't know if that means
like
that there's an expansion
or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or if there's like another standalone thing. But that's one of the things they've been kind of like keeping in their pocket.
Right.
But they're like, oh, well, don't worry if you're not a fan of role playing games because we still have, you know, some stuff coming for the just board game fans.
Right. Yep.
Did you guys see Fantasy Flight announced a new Game of Thrones game?
Ooh, I didn't
know. Called Game of Thrones Betwixt.
Oh, I did see that.
So it's 3 to 6 players. It's like a bidding, auction, political, like hand management kind of game.
Okay.
And so it looks like it plays pretty fast. Like not a really like overly long.
Not like the other
game. Not like the board game.
Yeah.
It says you're gonna play as one of the 9 iconic characters. Blah blah blah. So that's obviously Starks, Baratheons, you know, Lannisters. Blah blah blah.
All
right.
All them.
All of them. And then it sounds like you're trying to like recruit political factions to your hand or whatever, and then you're playing things. I don't know.
Isn't this a reskin? Mm-hmm. I thought Betwixt was a thing.
Oh, maybe.
This is Game of Thrones Betwixt.
I don't know.
I might totally
kind of like Flux would be. Like,
yeah,
just,
I might totally be
so
wrong.
So you like a left Betwixt stuff. Or a right Betwixt?
Right.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a candy joke.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, not a joke.
We didn't laugh because we didn't get it.
I had to point out how bad it was.
Right. No, it wasn't good. Yeah. It definitely wasn't good. Then there's Endangered Species.
Yep, that's what I was going to talk about. Grand Gamers Guild announced on their page, and also you can probably go to your FLGS to get it ordered. Endangered New Species Kickstarter editions are for sale. Condors, Devil's Hole, Pupfish, Jaguars, Turtles, Polar Bears, Elephants. Different.
That's all in one box, right?
All in one box, yeah. Wow. Other playable roles that you can play, plus 6 new scenarios. There's a ton. It's like the price of like a full game, but you're getting like a full game, but it's also compatible with the old one. So that's...
You like Endangered.
Yeah, if you like Endangered or tough co-ops in general, you could start with the New Species, and then if you like it, get the old one,
so
too.
Is New Species like a standalone expansion?
Yes.
Like, if you buy that, you need to have OG Endangered.
I'm like 95% sure.
Okay.
I didn't. It is.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's got that higher price point, right? And it comes with both the new animals and the roles and the scenarios. So I think you can play with just that, but then you can also mix and match.
And they do have like a get everything bundle.
They got a bunch of different things like to check out. And
it's
like,
Grand Gamers Guild. Check them out. It's a small like private company.
Yeah, small company. Yep, yeah, from I think publisher. It's Michigan. Yeah. So that's cool.
Up near Grand Rapids, I believe.
Yep.
Then, so Short Hop Games, Quests and Cannons, I believe their Pledge Manager is opening up.
Yep.
So if you are a fan or you missed out on it and now you want to try to get in on it, now's the time.
I think I talked about that. Yeah, Short Hop Games on Backer Kit a couple weeks ago.
It might not be for you, but definitely check it out because it was really good.
Pickup delivery with awesome components, you know, and a lot of depth. Customizable ships, like dual layer player boards.
And they made some changes that we pointed out.
So you got to appreciate them listening to feedback. You know?
Yeah.
Our name's somewhere in the booklet.
Well, put the brakes on that one.
If I find a bee.
Don't go telling people that, because I don't think.
Yeah, I'm just going to find all the letters in the rule book that spell out Board Game Rundown and highlight, and I'll be like, oh my God, they mentioned us.
We're in there.
Da Vinci Code it.
That's how we would get into the next mind management. Sure. That's pretty much all my news.
I had one other small bit I wanted to talk about because, you know, I'm a huge Axis and Allies fan, 1942. Mm-hmm. It is out of the early release. It's into the full launch now. It's available on Windows, Mac, Linux, iPads, Androids. You can play the Axis and Allies 1942 on anything. It's cross-platform. It plays really well. If you're interested at all in, like, World War II and playing out those types of, like, strategy, like board games, Risk on Crack, basically, check it out because it plays really well. It's a ton of fun. You can play against the computer, beat up on them. There's a really nice tutorial to help get you through it to learn because there's a lot to kind of take in. And once you get good, they have ranked missions and stuff like that. And they do like different seasons. So like the season will be for like a couple of months. You can play in ranked missions to try to get like, you know, higher ranking and whatnot. And then after a couple of months, they reset the ranks and you can go again. So it's pretty sweet, man. I'd play the crap out of that.
Also, right? Like any digital games that you're playing online, like Board Game Arena, things like that, get on our Discord and go, hey guys, anybody want a game? Because not only just us, but other people in the, you know, rundown community, you might be able to get a game going.
Tim just hopped on Fury of Dracula with someone.
I did. It was pretty fun.
I was going to say just a little thing about Bob play. Like, if you're ever friends with Bob on Steam, it's literally either he's offline. Or he's online for 3 or 4 days straight playing Axis and Allies.
It's true. It's true. Although, to be fair, I have done some Gloomhaven in there now, too, which is nice because that has released the iOS version.
And if that was on sale, I wish I could have hopped in with you guys. I saw you and Levi play it.
So I used to have to load into the boot camp, right, and play on Windows and whatnot. But now that it's on iOS, it's much more smoother for me. And, man, it's so pretty. It looks really good.
I got a couple small things. I don't know exactly what this means, but I saw, and again, I've been out for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't 100% know what you guys have covered, but
I don't
think,
watch the show.
Yeah, I don't think. I was too sick. I don't think you guys have mentioned. So I just saw that Flat River Group bought Greater Than Games. I don't think you guys talk about that, but Flat River Group is known for being a distributor, and they bought Greater Than Games, which we know for Sentinels of the Multiverse and Spirit Island. But so they were bought out by them, and basically
they're torching both of those IPs.
But it looks like basically Greater Than Games is just like, hey, we're getting like better manufacturing and distribution equipment and stuff now, and we're gonna have like a higher budget or whatever.
Anything, it might be more, you know, turn out to be a nice partnership.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. That's what it sounds like. What I'm saying. And I guess I'll tack on really quick here. I heard Spirit Island just cracked top 10 BGG.
Nice.
I think it kicked out another game. It finally hit top 10. So,
yeah, it's a great game. Co-op game. You can play it solo. Yeah, it's a good one. Like, there's so there's so many options. And I just love the theme that you're just like, you know, the spirit. You're playing the spirit that these, you know, locals in this island like worship and whatnot. And the invaders are coming in and you're using your powers to try to chase them away and kill them off and whatnot to protect the island. I enjoy that.
And then the only other thing I have is I have some updated information on Marvel Zombies, because I know we talked about that even last time I was here. So
I got the updated. Yes.
But I just had some more. I didn't, you know, I probably don't have everything, so chime in if you want. But just a couple things that I honestly didn't know this when we talked about it almost a month ago, because it was like when it was first announced or whatever.
Right.
But so you're actually playing as the zombies.
Meant to talk about that. I forgot to write it down.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like the what if kind of thing.
Yeah, you're playing as the zombies in this one, and the bad guys, like the hordes you're fighting, are the shield agents.
But there's like Pepper Potts like walking down the street.
Yeah, like civilians and stuff. Yeah, and the abominations in this one are the actual superheroes. The uninfected Spider-Man and stuff will pop up. And they use their own powers against you and stuff like that. And they're designed in a way now to where they pop up way more often. It's not just like, oh, one abomination popped up this game and it was
that
terrifying.
That sounds horrible.
They're supposed to pop up a bunch more.
Hopefully they're a little easier to kill.
Yeah, no kidding.
Also, there's no items in this game, because just the way this stuff works is like, well, Captain America uses a shield, right? That's just how it works. So in this one, how it works is you get traits that are like temporary traits that you can use to boost your abilities, or a lot of them are zombie related. So you might get like a pounce attack kind of thing that you can get that has like a limited number of uses or something like that. So that's kind of how the items work in
this one. This is the second thing that it has going for it over any other Zombicide that might make me like really have to get it, because the first one is that it's Marvel Zombies.
Right. You're talking about the traits thing?
No, just that you play as the zombies.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
what a fantastic
thing. Can you turn the heroes into zombies?
It doesn't look like it. I think you just kill them.
Yeah.
But the last thing then is there's a new mechanic in this one called Hunger, where you I don't fully know how this works, but your guys are zombies and you crave, you know,
so you got to eat people.
To eat. And so you like slowly get weaker over time if you don't eat people. Mm-hmm. So you need to eat people. But the problem with that is eating people is not what you want to be doing. You want to be fighting them and stuff, because eating them has its own drawbacks. You want to be using them for completing missions and stuff. So, but if you don't eat for too long, they word it in a way that you start losing control of your character. Mm-hmm. Your character will start having to do stuff that you don't want it to do and stuff. So
that's cool.
Just a
lot
of,
that sounds interesting.
A lot of interesting mechanics going in here. I like
not
the sound
just,
of this.
Just when I thought
not
I was
just
out.
A cocky and
pull me back in.
Not like, that I'll ever be able to afford this game, but a lot of cool stuff sounding here. I mean, man, I wish I could get this game just for the miniatures. Having those zombie miniatures is incredible.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't want to offend you.
No, you know what, though? In the last bit of news, and then we've got to get on to Kickstarters.
Yep.
Because Jason's here, and Jason is the only one here that has played this. It is now on game store shelves, The Hunger.
Oh, yeah.
I am dying to get a copy of this game, Jason. So, Jason, just explain like The Hunger real quick for us. You're muted.
Sorry, my kid was being crazy.
No, you're good.
Yeah, The Hunger's great. It's a deck builder where you're also moving around a board, kind of Clank-ish. Mm-hmm. But in this one, you're taking on the role of a vampire. You're trying to eat villagers. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is you have to digest them to get them out of your deck. So they sit heavy in your stomach and they make it harder for you to move. They make it harder for you to get back to the castle. Because if you can't get back to the castle by sunup, you get burned up.
Right, and the further away from the castle, probably the better rewards kind of thing.
Correct.
Kind of like
Clank
would be,
but you can play the whole game just by going a little bit, but your options
no one wants
are limited.
To play with
there's
guy.
Some better stuff by going far away, but
Yeah,
that sounds super
on.
Fun.
I cannot wait to get my hands on a copy of that game.
That sounds interesting.
I'm super excited about it. I was really happy to hear that when you played it that you guys really liked it, so...
It's great. Yeah, if you can play it, definitely play it.
Check it out.
Right on. Okay, so crowdfunding. I didn't bring anything for crowdfunding because I just wanted to keep the list fast.
Okay. Yep. I got a couple
got
light
one.
Things.
Go for it.
Sure. So, which one do you have?
Harakiri.
So, yep, go ahead. That was one of mine, so go ahead.
Harakiri, Blades of Honor by Synergic Games.
Synergenic, I think.
Something like that. Oh, well. So it's going to be a co-op campaign-style game, 1 to 4 players, where you're in some kind of Shogunate Japan, except the shogun is some evil demon and is slowly taking over Japan.
Harakiri, yeah.
Harakiri. I don't know if I pronounced that incorrectly. And so you're going to be exploring. There's a large map where you're exploring different locations and in a different location. It's very much like Gloomhaven, where you go to that location, now you have these little tile maps. They're double-sided, and you have the little combat and stuff. You level up your characters over time. This one has this... 170 millimeter dragon. Like, it is amazing looking.
Fantastic. Oh, Lord. Jason's in.
This game has the best D&D miniatures I've ever seen.
Yeah, they could be perfect for D&D miniatures.
Yeah, so what's the price point on this thing?
I got it right here.
You go for it then.
124 is the cheapest one. Yep. It goes up to 350.
Wow. But 350.
I'm going to buy two.
It's not only all the expansions, it's all of the add-ons.
Yes.
Okay. Everything.
I would hope so.
I mean, yeah. No, that's good. I'm sure there's value in that.
60 to 150 minutes as well. And December 14th, the last day. So again, I talked about this recently. The reason I want to talk about this game is because it does something I really like, which is you are actually moving around on this big map and exploring and taking different roads. So you can take the safe road, or you can take the more dangerous roads where you might have to fight more monsters and stuff. And you're doing quests almost Gloomhaven, like where you're pulling cards and answering things and doing stuff like that. But then some quests literally have you set up a different tiled board, and you're, it's like, it might be like, oh, explore this village and figure out what's wrong, and you actually set up like this village board, and you're actually moving around on this board and having to interact with things on that board. Then it becomes almost Descent-ish in this little side game. And again, I talked recently about another the new Risk game doing that, because that's how an XCOM game would need to be, is having this secondary skirmish stuff going on.
Right.
And this is another game this soon doing it. I really like
it
seeing
might be
this
a trend,
happen.
Right?
Right. I just hope they work, because neither game's out yet that has this mechanic.
Yeah,
so I really am looking forward to seeing if this works.
Yeah, plus, as the game goes on, the different campaigns, the evil demon Shogun is taking over more and more of the area. And so going into that area is more and more dangerous.
The one thing that's a little weird about this game, and it's even kind of weird for me to bring up, but I thought it's kind of being talked about a little bit, so I wanted to say it, is it's a little weird that I understand it sounds cooler, but evidently Harakiri is like the
seppuku.
Offensive way to say seppuku.
Yes,
and I guess they just didn't call the game seppuku because Harakiri sounds cooler.
Yeah, people
you know
you hear seppuku, people know what that.
But like,
is.
But like, I was doing some research and I've seen some people talk about it, and Harakiri is kind of like the, we don't say that word. Like Harakiri is the act of cutting yourself or whatever, to where seppuku is the honorable sacrifice, like kind of thing.
Sure. Honorable
and so,
suicide. Versus...
Right, and so they don't really like using this word, you know. And so I thought that was kind of weird, but at the, you know, whatever. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So one of the things your character can do is commit seppuku in order to do something to the bad guy. I think that's weird, but
and you like get blessed by the gods, whatever, to be able to come back or something like
that. On the actual like Kickstarter page at the bottom, it says we do not condone self harm.
Well, that's
like
good,
that.
At least,
right?
Yeah, okay,
but so there's a lot of interesting stuff going in this game, the whole campaign thing. Yeah.
Oh, and it
campaign.
Drops May 2023 is when they're expecting it to.
Oh,
to
geez,
get people. Yeah, so it's
a
ways
that's
a away.
One.
Yeah, I heard that news about Voidfall too.
So,
I got the expected ship is like March 2023, and I'm like, oh my god.
But that the thing is,
it's gonna be so. There's so much. It's gonna be so
March
cool. But
2023, but it's done now.
Yeah.
And then I mean, everyone. This game just needs to be mentioned because the ridiculous fan base for Borderlands out there, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, we had somebody in the Discord ask.
Yeah,
about it.
Borderland, yeah. Mr. Torg's Arena of Badassery. Don't know if that's going to be bleeped or not. By Monster Fight Club, who is evidently known for a lot of terrain stuff, I saw. Like, I looked at their past Kickstarters. They do a lot of terrain stuff. But I don't have too much information on this game. It goes till December 23rd, 1 to 4 players, also cooperative. 60-minute playtime sounds really nice for this kind of game. And $85 to $135. But basically, this is like a Colosseum skirmish kind of game where you're like working together to kill all these hordes of bad guys, and you're like getting, you know, Borderlands is a video game that's a looter shooter, right? It's one of those games where everything you do gets you some kind of crazy loot dropping on the gun, and you're constantly becoming better and better with skills and weapons and everything. So that's this game, right? Everything you do, there's just loot, you know, you're drawing loot cards, you're becoming stronger and stronger, and you're kind of trying to prove to the boss bad guy that you are like worthy, right? That you can stay alive in this Colosseum, whatever. But I mean, this game's gonna sell out like crazy. The Borderlands.
Well, I mean,
huge.
It's a hot IP, right?
Handsome Jack or something like that.
Handsome Jack is one of the protagonists.
You refer
to
it as a
antagonist.
Looter shooter.
Looter shooter. Yeah, that's like that. It's when the whole point of a shooter is just to get loot and get stronger and stronger. Yeah.
All right.
The last thing I guess is I like how the miniatures in this one are designed in a way to look like cel shaded. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have that look.
Oh,
so I'm wondering if you're going to be able to easily paint them in that cel-shaded look because of the way the miniature's kind of designed.
I don't know. The way the talent that people have, I would be surprised at nothing.
Well, yeah, you could paint anything cel-shaded if you really try hard enough. I just like that the miniatures look like they're trying to make it easier for you.
Yeah,
right. You know?
It's got paint by numbers on there.
Right. but that's it. I mean, it's Borderlands.
Hope all these numbers are three because they're all one color.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
No, that's good.
We're good.
All right. Yeah. All right, let's get into our...
Jason,
you got any...
Crowdfunding?
Crowdfunding you want to talk about, or are you good?
No, that's not normally my world.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We mentioned all the big
we figured we'd ask
games.
You since you're here.
Yeah. Right. We covered all the ones you would want to talk about.
Yeah, the, well, the Ninny's one, that was his. Yeah,
I was going to talk about with that. With a dragon this yeah. big, and we talked about Marvel Zombies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're good. Yeah, so our topic this week, I mean, it's a holiday season, right?
Yeah.
Holiday season.
We all like, spend various amounts of money, sometimes too much, almost all the time too
mostly,
much,
yeah.
On board games and stuff. But, like, what brings value to these games for you? You know, like, what is it that when you're looking at a game and you're on the fence with buying it, it's like, what are you more willing to pay for? You know what I mean?
Sure.
What makes this game valuable to you? You know, so like Bob and I, for example, we love games with great components. Mm-hmm. It's not a must,
right.
But obviously we might be willing
prefer
to
that.
Spend
a little bit more
I've held out on buying a game because I want to get the better version.
Right. Correct. Same.
The deluxe version or a Kickstarter
version. Yeah, to
where
version. Jason is like,
just give me some cubes and some tracks.
The worst components you've ever I'm a big
fan. I mean, you're not wrong.
Jason's like a spiral notebook and three empty rolls of paper towel.
Sounds cubes of wood. Yes. We're moving around. We're good.
But no, yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, though, like, what are some things that you guys... what brings value to games for you?
There's obviously the big ones like replayability and stuff, right, that I think everyone's going to mention. But I think the number one thing for me that I look for, which is why I don't buy games super often, I do a lot of research. I watch other people play the game. I will sit on YouTube and I will watch a full 2-hour playthrough of someone play a game because I want to see what that experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it's the experience. I want to know what experience I'm getting out of this. U-Boot is one of the best things I've ever played. I've played it one time. And I just, I'll never forget it. That experience of that realistic submarine simulator thing and us working together and managing our food and everything, that's a mind-blowing experience to me. And that is what I look for and why I do so much research and I'm so stingy on picking games because I want to be able to walk away from every game I play with a story.
Right.
Yeah. And some stories are going to be more intense than others. And, games are designed that way. Not every game needs some crazy campaign. Mm-hmm. But, not every game... You don't need to walk away with a campaign. You just walk away with the story. I can't believe that happened. That was crazy. Even when we played Mini Steel, we walk away and we're just like, oh my God, you stole the
this,
shield.
Stole this.
And like that is the one thing I want, and I will always do research to see what the experience I think I'm going to walk away with is, and if that experience is what I want, I'll buy the game. That's my number one thing
good.
For sure.
Jason, what do you got? What's...
So, yeah, I disagree with Dan about story and experience. I don't care about any of that.
I know. We said paper towel rolls.
But I want a game that when I play it, it stays with me. So, for example, the game that I keep coming to, I actually broke my spending rule on it, is Belgian Beers Race.
Oh, yeah.
I played this game once, and every time I see it on the shelf, I just want to play it over and over and over because I like what it had to offer. I like everything that I was doing in the game. It just felt like a game that I wanted to keep exploring over and over and over. And come back to as much as I can. And that's kind of what I want. If I'm going to sell out $60-$70 for a game, I want it to be a game that I want to play. I want to keep playing. So that's kind of my big one.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah. It's similar to what I was saying. It's just that it's you're more the in-game story than like the after-game story.
Right,
kind of thing.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Spencer, what do you got? What's something you value?
Well, I mean, obviously replayability. And you say experience. I was saying... how fun it is if I really enjoy the game. But beyond that, there's one more thing that I really value in a game, and that is, how unique is it?
Okay. Mm.
Is this game unlike any other game I've played?
Is this game about Celtic knights?
Wow. It's been like 6 months since I made a joke about that.
We were overdue.
We were overdue.
Thank you, Dan. You've done everyone here a service. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, but there's so many games, especially
about Celtic
right now, where... we play it once, and there's some new mechanic that we've never seen, and I'm like, okay, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes the new mechanic is underwhelming, but usually it's a really cool thing, and the games are getting better and better at producing these unique things about them.
You can't get away anymore with just, like, a reskin.
Yeah, you can't do another Monopoly, and
unless
you call it Monopoly.
Right.
No,
but you're right. I mean, like, even today, right, we play Picture Perfect. I've never played a game like Picture Perfect before, right? I mean, there's games with similar aspects, but the actual like spatial organizing, the theme, like the theme is perfect for the game. Like, I know you don't care about theme, but the theme makes sense for the gameplay though, right? Mm-hmm. It would be really hard to paste a different theme, like, on that game. You know,
you're a spy looking for the double agent.
That unique mechanic is pretty neat.
And I have to admit about the theme. Sometimes I'll buy a game because I'm like, I like the story. That's
the thing after replayability that most people will mention, right? Most intelligent, good people who play board games will mention replayability.
Chops fired.
And then go straight to, like, the IP or something, right? Yeah, like, oh, well, it's a Star Wars game. I'll buy it, right? Like, that's a classic thing for most people.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, like, fun IPs, that's something I really look for, right? Like, I love Star Wars games and things like that. Unique mechanics. Like, I love unique mechanics. Like, you know, I enjoy worker placement. I enjoy spatial games. I enjoy deduction. Like, new and interesting ways to mix those up. Like, that's something that I enjoy and I look for. And then, like, a big thing is, like, the entertainment dollars. Like, I think about, like, okay, if I go to the movies, I'm going to spend X amount of money for so many hours of play. But if I can buy this board game, and I might spend $100 for it, but I'm getting, like, you know, a couple hundred hours of entertainment out of that. Like
your Gloomhaven has paid for itself.
Well, considering I won a free copy, technically. Oh, right. You know, way more than itself. Yeah. But along those lines,
$100 on a Gloomhaven.
Correct. But like, I've played it so many times and so many hours that, you know, it's like, okay, so basically I've paid 30 cents an hour to play this. That sounds fantastic.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like another thing for me then is the, how, so U-Boot, right? Is an amazing experience. Super hard to get to the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, one of the things I do value in a game, if I'm going to buy it, is like, who am I going to play it with? Right. And like, how often am I going to get to play it? Mm-hmm. Right. So like, a game like you missed out on this one. You will get to play it in the very near future because we all loved it. But like Blank Slate.
Oh yeah.
You know, like Blank Slate.
Oh yeah, you love that game.
That was good.
Was so much fun.
I already put that on my list.
Like, it's like a just one kind of game.
Right.
Except you're trying to match other people and not match.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But you get more points if you only pair with one person.
Right.
So, anyways, it's a fantastic, super easy, right? And it's a cheap game. But you can get that. You will play that game 1,000 times. Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
kind of like the just one, yeah.
You know, just one is like a similar thing. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have to be that simple, right? Like, so Lords of Vegas, Jason. Lords of Vegas. I spent.
Yeah, good.
I bought it aftermarket. Mm-hmm. I did not spend as much as Bob did.
But I got a really nice copy, though.
I didn't spend components.
I didn't spend a third.
It's a leather briefcase. No,
I didn't spend a third of what Bob did. But I did buy it. And, probably paid almost twice what it was retail. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what it was retail, but probably was close to double, right?
Because
it's around the $100 range. I didn't pay that much.
Yes.
But that is a game that everybody that I play that with, except Dan, has had an amazing experience with.
So, like, what smart people tend to gravitate to.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
real gamers like that.
Yeah. Yeah. People like good games.
Right.
And, because you guys, even on your show, like, we're talking about, you know, like, I mean, you're doing your top 100, and Lords of Vegas is in there. And you guys, I'm just like a proud papa because I'm like, they play this game one time with me. And, you know, they had, like, an amazing experience, right? And it's like, this game's so good.
Mm-hmm. And so I haven't played it with me.
Friends and family.
But like, Lords of Vegas is a game that like, I spent more than I
normally
would have wanted to.
Sure.
But after you and I played it, it's like, I got to figure out how to get a hold of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was worth the investment.
Yep.
And I played that game over Thanksgiving, you know what I mean, with new people. Mm-hmm. It's like that in Quacks of Quedlinburg. Like, if I roll into like a family get together, I have those two games in my bag. If not both is getting played.
Yeah.
And it's without a doubt so easy to get it on the table. Mm-hmm. And so that is a huge, like, don't get me wrong. I think U-Boot, I'm dying to play it.
Yeah.
Right. Own it. Too. Have not played it. It's
difficult to get to the table.
I love great experiences. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But haven't gotten it to the table where like some of those games, because, like, it doesn't have to be as light as Just One or Blank Slate. But, like, Taverns of Tiefenthal and Quacks, like, you know, Lords of Vegas, it's like, man, like.
Yep. No, boom. I totally get it. I don't agree, but it's not for, I'm just saying it's not for, like, a crazy reason or something. I don't know. I don't care internally. It's the experience I want. So if I play one game once and it blows my mind, I play another game 50 times and it's okay, I don't care, right?
You really had the one mind-blowing experience.
Right. Like, I think sometimes people rate games too highly because they say, oh, well, I can get it to the table anytime I want. I'm like, yeah, but it's a crap game. So I don't care that I can get it to the table.
I mean, I don't know that that would never be the sole reason.
Right, of course. Like, sure, it's, yeah, it's important. A gear. Yeah.
But it'd be
yeah.
better if you had a really good game that you get to table often.
Of course, that's the really perfect, game, right? Yeah. Dune Imperium yeah, is a nice middle ground, yeah. right? It's a super interesting, fulfilling storytelling game, but then it's easy to get to table. It's just a worker plays deck building game, right? Mm-hmm. So I get it. It's definitely a nice mixture. I was asked recently to list my top three games just like kind of off the top of my head. I didn't really put too much thought into it. And the first two were easy because they've been going back and forth forever. But like, so I wound up saying, close your ears, Jason. But I wound up saying Twilight Imperium, Nemesis, and Blood on the Clock Tower. And it's just because those games will never not give a story. I mean, yeah. I still tell the story of my first game of Twilight Imperium from like 8 years ago. It's still a story I just tell people because it is.
They've never given me a story.
Right. Well, you have to play it.
Yeah.
But Blood on the Clock Tower, man, the people just, you see crazy. I mean, any social deduction, big werewolf type game, right? You're going to have some crazy story of like, oh my God, I can't believe he picked that person on night three and this happened. And
in that sense, it's not just an experience. It's a social experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, and that's something that Twilight Imperium has that I think people that don't play don't realize is that social. The reason I like Twilight Imperium so much, the story that I always tell, halfway through that game, I had an in-depth political conversation about someone, about Levi getting too many votes in the next election and if he took control of a certain planet. And I was like, what am I talking about? Like, this is insane that my brain cares this much about this. And it changed my life in the gaming world, you know? Mm. And I mean, Nemesis, not as deep as that, but we'll always have some crazy story of, I shoved my friend into the room and I locked the door on him and I set it on fire.
Right? Yeah, like, that's happened.
And like, then I set the self-destruct. And it's just like, what is happening?
Yeah,
and then that person blew the door down with their explosive.
I'll always tell the story of the first time I played with Jonathan and Caleb, and he was out. Jonathan was out to kill the two of us.
I remember this.
And he was the scientist, and he kept like closing off rooms and trying to get us to vacuum out. And eventually, we locked him in a room with the queen, and the two of us got an escape pod and got the hell out of Dodge.
Nice.
It was great.
That's awesome.
And it's just a story no one's ever going to forget, you know? And that's,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think that the nice thing, right, is that this list is very subjective.
Oh, yeah. Right?
You know,
Everybody's different. Yep.
So I own a copy of U-Boot because one day I will play it. I own a copy of Feudum. Have not played Feudum yet, but I am dying to play Feudum.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think I love the art. I love the design. It looks so. Yeah. It looks so crunchy and
it does look very crunchy.
Amazing.
Hey, it probably is. It probably is. I've heard good things, but man, that cover, man,
I love it.
I just,
I love it. I love it.
I think one of the things we've all kind of touched on it a little bit, but me and Katie kind of buy the games that our friends want to play.
Yeah.
We're kind of like the game group hub, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll buy a game if I think it's more likely to get played by my game group.
Absolutely.
So it may not even be a game that I want to play. Like, I would love to play Lisboa all the time. Mm. That's not going to get played all the time. So, you know, I'll buy Cat Lady because I know it'll go well with my game group.
Yeah.
And it's worth the $20 that I spend on it because it'll get played.
Yeah. Right.
So
play with your
that's
friends.
Kind of a.
Yeah.
And they'll have a good social experience with it.
Yeah.
I'm luckily not as backed into that corner because these two people kind of fulfill that accidentally.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So.
Hey, on a side note, if you want to play Lisboa some weekend, you let me know and we'll set something up.
All right.
If you want to play with someone other than Bob.
Anybody else besides
No, probably not. You're going to be stuck with me.
Any other
All you can do is try.
Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. Anyone.
Just looking. Yeah. No, but I've definitely bought games that like I know my wife will play.
Definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that may not have been like top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
But and there was, I mean, just because like, oh hey, like sometimes we get games from board game companies, you know, mm-hmm. hey, review this. Like Blank Slate, again, I know I said it earlier. Mm-hmm. That's one I would have totally missed.
Yeah.
Totally missed, but we played it so we could review it. And I'm like, well, holy
cats.
This is
fucking cool.
This is so good.
Yeah.
But, you know, also like Road Tripping, right? That's not like the heaviest game, but that game's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a bunch of fun.
And a good story to tell, right? Yeah. I mean, we came out with, you know, you come out with good stories
good
from
little
that.
Little party game, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think everybody's going to have their own criteria of mm-hmm. things that bring
some
value.
Some similarities, but then some things that we specifically will look for.
I mean, I love games with fantastic miniatures.
Yeah.
It happens.
I love fancy bits.
So do you, I think.
Yeah, you're a
Oh, yeah, I love guy. Miniatures. Like,
Dogs of War.
Godfather, so good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I have some games with miniatures. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I played Zombicide. Thank you very yeah. much.
Played it, but did you like it? That's the difference.
I played it.
What edition did you play?
Black very first one.
Yeah.
Edition of Descent.
Yeah, that's
well.
Why no yeah, one. Nope,
yeah,
no one
you need to try
it.
Journey in the Darkness on the Descent. That was a lot of fun. And the Black Plague Zombicide is the best version so far.
I don't know if I need to try.
Right.
You should give it a shot.
You have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Right. They are much better than their
they
previous
are much
versions.
Better. Yes.
Right. But there are some games, right, that like I don't know why I just always have. I always have a fantastic time playing a game like DC Deck Builder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the theme is integral to the game. I guess like Dark Knight, like that, Metal.
Metal. Yeah, Dark Knight's Metal.
Metal was great.
Yeah.
That
one, the theme actually kind of applies mm-hmm. and comes through. But that is a game, and I don't know if it's because of like my roots and playing like Magic and things like that.
Sure, yeah.
But that is a game that I am always excited to play and always have a good time, even if I get my butt kicked. Doesn't happen often. As,
yeah.
If. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I love playing every single time. I invite my friends over, and then I stomp them because,
yeah.
like, they have no idea
memorized.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like me in Race for the Galaxy.
Did you just play back a recording of me speaking? Exactly
like I've been working on it for weeks.
Yeah. That's all he's been doing.
Oh, you haven't been sick. You've just been working
yeah.
on
impersonation.
Thanks, trust sir. Me, yeah. trying to impersonate you makes me sick.
But that is a game. I don't even know what the tangible thing to put my. You know, to point at and say,
right.
this is the game.
Right.
That,
yeah, it
that
just clicked for you.
It
yeah.
just clicks. I mean, I'm fine. It's comic books. I read comic books.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Well, I think it's a lot of the things that you mentioned kind of all together, right? IP, you know, gets mm-hmm. the table easy.
Yep.
You yeah. know, things like enjoyable stories when you walk away.
Right.
It's all those little things compiled for you that you.
And I need to crack open my version and play it. I haven't yet because I haven't sleeved it yet. But the ICP.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I got
yeah.
one, too. I picked
uh-huh.
one up. Yeah.
I mean, it's a very
mine
similar.
Mine is sleeved already.
So is mine, actually.
Nice.
It's a very similar mechanic, right?
Yes.
I mean,
as someone who doesn't love DC Deck Builder, like, it's not a bad game or anything. I just don't, like, love it as much as you and stuff. I just really love the ICP game for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
there's something about the slightly different mechanics. Mm-hmm.
I think they just nailed a balance too,
yeah.
in there. You know, like
the different factions and things.
Because I know little to nothing about the IP. But
it was
sure.
just during that one game night thing.
Yeah,
yeah, friends I mean, and family.
Friends and family thing.
No, I think he was there but had to leave, right?
Did you show up to the board game mechanics?
Oh, yeah. But
yeah,
he was there at the end,
yeah.
Oh, you showed up late. So you play like Mask of the Red Death and stuff like that.
I had to miss that one.
But again, go on.
I literally care about theme not at all, but
yeah.
if it comes to a game that has to do with a band or music,
yes.
that's my jam.
Do you know?
I will find those games
down. Do you know that that's a theme?
Hunt them down and pay a lot of money.
I don't know if you
yeah.
know this.
Yeah.
But yeah. like, but sometimes though, I you know because I listen to your show, art and stuff really does impress you and draw you in, right? Because like Mask of the Red Death.
I mean, I have eyeballs. I like that.
Sometimes I wonder.
I'm not going to pay extra for it, and it's not going to make me dislike a game if
right.
it doesn't have it.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, not a deal breaker, right? But if,
nah,
it,
not
if
deal breaker.
It's a nice bonus if it has it.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's a good way to put it.
I probably love some games more because
of their art,
of the aesthetic.
Yeah,
like,
mm-hmm. yeah, I agree. I'd give it that half point. You know, half point for dual layer player boards, half point for good art.
Right.
You know?
Right. But like, Oceans is a beautiful game.
Yeah,
you know, like looks really nice out, like spread
right.
out.
Like if Oceans was the exact same game, but like some toddler drew all the art for you, and like all the pieces were cut out of cardboard, it'd be the exact same game, but you wouldn't play it as often.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
not
just
as nice to look at.
Yeah, that's just
Jason might.
Well, no, I actually don't like that game.
You know,
well, whatever. the analogy stands.
That's awesome.
We could get a preschool class to make Jason a copy of Brass.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can play that version.
I thought he doesn't like Brass.
Yeah.
No, he likes old Brass.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that like the version that's already out, like the preschool version? That's the one I have, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't want the iron clays.
Right.
And the,
right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything that looks nice, you know?
Right.
So wait. I just want to pose a very hypothetical situation.
Uh-oh.
What if, Jason, on your doorstep, this is not happening from me, by
right.
the way, because I would buy it for myself first. But if what if on your doorstep, a deluxified edition of Brass landed on your doorstep, you paid $0 for it. So it's on your shelf. and somebody's like, I really want to play Brass.
Which
version
one do you grab?
Which version are you pulling off the shelf?
I would grab the new one because I'm not a savage.
He's like, just in case anybody out there wants to know, my address is.
All you got to do is join the Riveted. You know, hit Jason up. He'll give you all the details of where to send.
Where to drop that box off at.
Yeah, exactly right.
P.O. box. Yeah,
exactly right. And if you find the ICP expansion, he's waiting for that as well.
Oh, there's an expansion too?
Yeah. That is impossible to find.
Okay.
Nice.
Have you played the expansion, or are you just aware of it?
No, it's like the Holy Grail. You're not going to find that thing.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they re-release it.
I keep checking their website because the original version of the game comes into stock every couple of months.
Off and on, yeah.
And you would think, like, okay, so they'll do this with the expansion.
So far, not so much.
Apparently, they don't like money.
Oh, they like money.
Yeah, they like money.
Or they just like having something exclusive out there.
Yeah, it could be that too. Us. Yeah, maybe you got to go to like one of their shows or gatherings or something to get it.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe. They do that. I'll try.
We know. We'll send you.
Yeah, I'll let Jason know too. So if if I hear another gathering of the Juggalos going on, maybe we can hit it up.
Oh, 100%. I'll buy one from you for sure.
You got to get Katie.
You realize
to go.
It's more than $5.
Worth it.
There we go.
$7. $7.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we pretty much covered it.
I think so. What about, look at this camera. What about you guys? What's your number one? What's your number seven thing you look for? Those are the only two I care about.
Yeah. The other ones don't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Yep. I want a list in the comments. One, a bunch of blanks, and then seven.
But those blanks need to be real things.
Yeah, real things. They just don't count.
Dan'll know. He goes through your trash. Wow. I don't know. It sounded good.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so let us know, hit us up on Discord, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Mm-hmm. Reach out to us.
All the things.
Find the board game mechanics on Facebook and join the hashtag
The Riveted.
The Riveted. Mm-hmm. They got you guys have an awesome community over there. Yeah. I'm totally jealous of it. Mm-hmm. It's a super nice group.
We were going to call it Pound the Riveted, but it didn't have the same ring to it. So, hashtag works.
I think hashtag is better.
It is.
Yeah, somebody just shows up and like punches you in the face.
I was going to call it Tic-Tac-Toe the Riveted. That's what I usually call it.
No.
Look at that. Look at that. Just crickets.
Yeah.
Just crickets.
Hopefully, Jeff.
What's a fourth thing that thing could be
Cross-hatch.
Called? Crosshatch. Yeah, I was trying to think of that too.
You just sit over there quietly and think about that, for the rest of the show.
Dude, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
For the rest of the show.
Think about what you've done.
But thank you, Jason, for coming on and putting up with us.
Good to see you again.
For a day.
Good to be on, except for hanging out with Dan. But everybody else was cool.
We tried to get you on last week when he wasn't here, but it just didn't line up.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, we had like a 2-week window.
We totally missed out. Yeah.
Oh, well. Nobody's perfect. Especially not Dan.
We missed you, Dan. Yeah.
Shut up, Spencer.
Watch the show.
So please check them out. They're pretty okay.
Yep.
It's
podcast. A fun podcast. Yeah.
A ton of videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Well, and doing their top 150?
No, 100.
100.
Well, I heard you talk about your 150 through whatever too.
The videos are from 200 to 101, and then we're doing the podcast 100 to number
one.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I die a little bit inside every time one of like my top 20 games is like in their 90.
Yeah,
you know?
And 187 Tim's favorite game. Yeah. Like, Cthulhu Wars. Yeah,
oh, that's not even on there.
Oh, dude.
That's like 1200.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. But so
that's great.
This is actually a good time to start listening. Right, go back a couple weeks, jump on that 100.
Yeah,
and then start going through.
Yep. Yeah, and that way you can also see if your board game tastes line up with theirs, so you know like whether you want to listen to their reviews or not, or be like, these guys don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Boy. I mean, we don't. But,
yeah. But do we. Jason cranks out a ton of videos.
Yeah. Yep.
Too many.
Mm-hmm. I'm jealous of your output. I love it. I think it's great.
I have a work from home job, so that allows me a little more chat.
That's awesome. For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a wife that plays a lot of games with you.
Which is also
that
awesome.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of more negotiating for me.
Right.
There's a lot more negotiating for me.
Yeah.
I can do what I want. I know.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Caught me a big old fish.
Yeah, you did.
Straight up murder.
But anyways, also check out our other channels on Game Talk Network. We've got the Pokemon Rundown, MTG Rundown, and the Minis Rundown.
Yep.
So we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. And don't forget to check out our giveaway on Gleam. We'll be sharing all of those on our social medias. You can find them on Jason's. You can find them on ours.
Once it's all active, there'll be links in the description for all this stuff, of course.
Yeah, I think it goes active on 12/7.
12/7.
What a weird way to say that.
Yeah.
December 7th. You that aren't Dan. Yeah.
So it will be active for one day or the day this drops, like right one or the other, right around there. Mm-hmm. So because we're filming right now on 12/5.
Whoa, dating us.
12/5. I would never date you. but yeah, guys, as always, thank you for watching. For the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Spencer.
I was Dan.
And I'm not for the Board Game Rundown, but I'm Jason.
We had you today, though.
Had him.
We had you today.
Like the preschool version? That's the one I have, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't want the iron clays. Right. And the...
right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything that looks nice. You know?
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and Let's Plays. And as always, thanks for watching.